We got his microphone, or his glasses, or something.
Hope I didn't forget my glasses. Wouldn't be able to see you. I figured I'd at least come down and talk to you down here. I'm tall enough, I don't need to be up on a three-step or four-step pedestal, right? So I'm gonna see if I can put this on while I'm talking to you, see if I can multitask here a little bit, huh? So maybe you heard at the beginning of Mass, or know, that this weekend, Corpus Christi, which is the Latin for the body, blood of Christ, right? It's the celebration of Christ who has given us the bread and the wine, which no longer become that after the consecration. It becomes the body and blood of Christ. And so in this celebration that the church every year holds, we are called to expound on the mysteries of the Eucharist, which is a lot. If we tally up all the pages that were written by various saints and maybe non-declared saints over the centuries of the church, I can't imagine how many pages were actually written on this one subject of the Eucharist, on this strange phenomenon of bread and wine being brought up as gifts, and the priests reciting the words of Jesus, and the miracle happening on the altar of these things being transformed into Christ himself in a substantial way. So, of all those pages of things that could be said, I'm going to focus on one small, maybe minute detail, and to help us maybe understand a little bit more the sacrament of the Eucharist. So I'm going to focus on the body. I'm talking about like our fleshy bodies, not like the body of the church, like a holistic thing, but I'm talking about us as humans who have bodies, who have flesh and bone. And I'm going to talk about us who have bodies and this sort of body itself, what it is, how it's designed, and how the Eucharist is essential to it as a body. Often we speak of the Eucharist and how it is Jesus's body and blood, but how we as humans were given this, as Christians, as Catholics, were given this by Jesus on purpose for our bodies. So I could speak about the body because I have one, right? But the body's a pretty unique and interesting thing. Why? Well, it can change, it can grow. When it's subjected to some sort of stimulus, some sort of difficulty or challenge, it, in facing that challenge, responds and grows. It, when it comes across a challenge, when we put ourselves in a place of challenge, it understands that it needs to adapt so that when it comes across that challenge again in the future, it's better adapted, it can address the challenge, it can complete the challenge a little bit more efficiently, right? So I, as an athlete, well, former athlete, some people would call that washed up now, but as an athlete, I did, and I still try to, subject my body to different difficulties, weights, endurance, conditioning. And in so doing, my muscles, my skeleton, my tendons, ligaments, all of these things adapt so that I no longer can just only run 1 mile and feel gassed, but I can go a little bit further than that, right? Because I subject myself to different stimulus, different challenges. My body adapts, it grows. Musicians, I wouldn't call myself a musician. I would love to be a musician, but I don't maybe give myself enough time to practice. But musicians do the same thing with the instruments that they play, with their hands, maybe with their feet. As an organist, we'll use their feet to play with their hands. And even their voices, as cantors do. They subject their body to different challenges, different stimulus. And what happens? They grow in the craft. Their bodies, their fingers, their hands are more attuned to the minute details of how far to press in a key and how that changes pitch and volume. Their voices in being able to expand across a wider spectrum. So I've trained my voice. It was a very rough voice, and now it's less rough. And occasionally it sounds decent to my ears sometimes. But my voice has changed by the way that I've sort of subjected it and by just trying to sing more often and actually sing and not just kind of mouth things. But we see in musicians and singers that change can happen, right? Even stepping back in the human level of all people, the way that our brains are wired is very interesting. So when we do something fulfilling, when we complete a task that is fulfilling to us or that is good for us, our brains, they know what's going on and they say, we want to complete this task always like we did. And so what do? Well, they codify, they strengthen the nerve pathway in our brain, the neurons in our brain, so that that path can be stronger and that we can do it quicker and easier. So doing fulfilling things makes us feel good, and we can then continue doing those things more efficiently. So all of these things speak to how our bodies are made to grow and to adapt to change, to hard things, so that they become easier. That's essential to us as humans, as people with bodies. So that's the first key thing. The second key thing, well, how our bodies actually develop and change? Well, they do so through nourishment, right? Through what we eat and drink. So I was just in Greece with my family this past 2 weeks. Actually, I had 9 days there visiting the homeland. I'm half Greek, and that was amazing. Had some really good food, a lot of tomatoes, a lot of things that were grown from around, like healthy. And I felt really good about it because I was like, okay, I'm nourishing my body. Like, I'm subjecting it to these challenges of trying to speak Greek. And it is Greek to me still. But I'm nourishing it. You know, I feel good. Like, you know, I'm exercising. Like, this is good nutrients. And I made the joke earlier, like, you know, I did eat some good food, but I also, you know, I also had a lot of bread, you know, and carbs. And, you know, so who knows if I actually have come out on top or not. But that beside the point, we need nourishment in order to feed this change. We need nourishment in order to feed the challenges so that our bodies can adapt and grow. Without nourishment, we can subject ourselves to many trials, many difficulties, and our body doesn't have much to use to grow. The cells don't have much to use to then adapt and to change. That said, we could also just nourish our bodies and not do anything in terms of challenge, right? So we could, in a sense, we could order our meals from Uber Eats and have them delivered, and then go out of a dark room, grab them, and come back into a dark room and eat and sleep and do nothing but stay in a dark room our whole life. And what happens there? Well, we get a lot of nourishment, but where does that nourishment go? It's not really going to adapt our cells or adapt our bodies to change. It's going mostly to keep us alive, and the rest kind of goes to places we don't necessarily want it to, right? Unfortunately, that's kind of how things happen sometimes. But so what I'm getting at here is nourishment is essential, but only when it's geared towards helping our bodies to adapt, to grow. Okay, I've been speaking a lot about bodies. You're probably thinking, where in the world does this come back to the Mass and come back to the Eucharist? Maybe some of you see the connection here. But Christ gives us nourishment. He gives us his body and blood to nourish us. And the strangest way, the bread and wine that are on that table, when they're brought forward here, miraculously on the altar, change and are no longer bread and wine. Yet to our bodies, to our senses, they seem as nothing more than bread and wine. And so what happens? Our bodies receive the communion and they think it's nourishment. As it breaks it down into the cells and the elemental parts of the bread and the wine, of the body and blood of Christ, it sees bread and wine. And so what does it do? It sends all of those elemental parts of the consecrated body and blood to all of the cells in our body to say, here's nourishment for you to feed it. That's the great grace we're given with this being nourishment for us. Why? Because the Eucharist, when we receive it, doesn't just feed our souls, but it feeds our bodies. And Jesus is made present to every single cell in our body so that it can grow, so that it can adapt to change. It's a great grace we're given. It's the nourishment that we need. However, what happens if we nourish without subjecting our body to any sort of stimulus, right? we receive so little of that nourishment. The rest of it just kind of goes to waste, right? So, stepping back, what do we need? Well, we receive here at Mass the nourishment of Jesus' body and blood. Great grace, incredible, immense grace. What do we need to accompany it? We need challenge, we need stimulus. We heard in the first reading that God subjected the Israelites to the difficulties of being in a desert and not having food. So he sort of, in a sense, forced them to fast. Why? It wasn't just so that their bodies would adapt to being hungry, but so that he could feed them. What happens? He rains down manna, so bread from heaven, and he feeds them. He wanted them to know who is God, who is the Father, and who are his children, and how much they need to rely on him. So in a sense, they were given stimulus, challenge, and then what happened? God nourished them. And what changed with them? Well, their bodies sort of changed. They fasted, okay, and then they were given nourishment, so their bodies adapted a little bit. But more so, their minds, their hearts, and their souls also changed with it. They knew, God is Father. I can't always provide for my own. I need him. I need him. So with us, like those Israelites, we need to subject ourselves to some sort of stimulus, some sort of challenge, right? So that comes in a very small way, maybe it's a big way for some of us, to come to Mass on Sundays, right? To be here present, to confess again sort of our sinfulness to God and to receive him in the Eucharist. But in a bigger way, outside of that, not sort of locking the rest of our week in a dark room, but allowing the nourishment we received here to sort of transcend the rest of the week by subjecting ourselves to stimulus, by engaging in prayer. In small ways, we can sort of challenge our bodies like athletes and musicians do by increasing the stimulus. If an athlete were to do the same sort of routine thing every day, there isn't much change. If a musician were to play the same song every day or once a week, there isn't much change. They learn that song, and then where is the growth? There isn't much growth. So too with us, we need to continue on our journey of increasing our challenges. Challenges. Increasing the ways that we offer ourselves to God. So, for us here, made it to Sunday Mass, check. Good. Great. That's a big check. Let's be honest. It's a big check for our world right now, to getting to Mass on Sundays. What else, though? There are small other ways that we can increase our capacity for growth, increase the challenge. If you pray the rosary once a week, if you don't do that yet, I encourage you, once a week, pray the rosary. Maybe you can break up your week by doing it on Wednesday. So you have a Wednesday rosary and you have Sunday Mass. If you already pray the rosary once a week, maybe a few times a week, maybe once a day, having that time every day of just centering yourself with the Lord, remembering that he is Father and that we are his children and we need him. Opening up scripture throughout the week, allowing the Lord to guide us by what's actually written, his word. Guide us by our reading and listening to that scripture. There are many things that we can undertake in this journey that are stimulus for us, that help us to use this nourishment for our true growth as spiritual beings, spirit and body. It's essential for us. But I want to give us some hope here, because a lot of us have probably lived a lot more life than I have, and maybe are confronted with your own humanity, as I am often. The saints have written constantly of their change in life. There are many saints, famous saints, who have gone from being the most ardent sinners, just, I mean, arguably in their own eyes, terrible people, to these absolute miracle workers, through God's grace, miracle workers. There's a huge change there. How did it come about? It was them subjecting themselves to God-styled hardships, right? To life of sacrifice for God in some small ways that made themselves into bigger things. They subjected themselves, their bodies, their life to stimulus. And what did they do? They fed themselves on the Eucharist, often daily Mass for all of them. And through that, they grew, and they changed, and their bodies, their souls, their minds, their hearts adapted, and they became vessels of Jesus. They became miracle workers on this earth. They became Christ incarnate again. How much we need that, how much you need that, how much I need that. We have hope because the saints show us this path. It's not something beyond our reach, and it starts small, in small, everyday ways. Each step is a small step. The next step before us is a small step. We don't need to take big leaps, but we can have encouragement to know that it is possible for all of us, right? What a great grace we're given to be here, to receive Jesus in this nourishing sacrament, that he may feed all of the ways this week and this year that we have sacrificed ourselves, that we have gone out of ourselves to subject ourselves to some sort of hardship for him, right? And the acts of charity that we've undertaken and the ways that we have prayed, all of these things. He nourishes us to change us. Have confidence that you will change and you are being changed. But do not grow weary at leaving yourselves at that level of change. Always strive, as he says, for perfection. So be encouraged in that. Be encouraged that he is always near, he loves us dearly, and that he is with us in this place. That he wishes to feed us with his sacrament, with his body and blood, so that he can nourish us in our change and continue to push us onward to heaven. Amen.